This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arms Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome into the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Chris Temple, a regular on the show, along with a couple others. I'm pinch hitting for Al and Corey for some of these segments. And for a couple segments in the second hour, I'm joined by Rick Ackerman of Rick's Picks, who is also a regular contributor to the KE Report, and by my buddy Mish Shedlock, whose website is mishtalk.com. He's a well-known blogger, investment advisor, rep. And we're going to talk about a subject that I think if we had to single down one subject that investors must get right going forward to be successful, it's what I have called this wholeflation debate. And largely because we've seen central banks become ever more activist in recent years for various reasons, we've got people on one side that are saying everything's going to implode. The Dow is going to go to 3,000. Gold's going to go back to $400. Cash is going to be king, etc. On the other side, we're talking about people who are on the other end, the hyperinflation end. Gold's going to 5,000 or 10,000 or 80,000 an ounce. We're going to be carrying cash in wheelbarrows and so forth. And as usual, when you have extremes like that, the truth is probably somewhere in between. A lot of smart people that I've followed over the years have got varied views on these on this subject. I want to remind you really quick about a fellow named Harry Figge, who some of you will remember. He was a chairman of Figge International, a Fortune 500 company, was appointed along with several other corporate heads and others to President Reagan's so-called Grace Commission, and was so alarmed by what he saw that he spent his own money and his company's money warning America about impending hyperinflation, the likes of which we were already seeing back in the late 70s and early 80s in Latin America. As history proved, and you can read this in much greater detail on my website, my Understanding the Game essay, Harry Figge was right in talking about these spikes he saw coming, but he was looking in the wrong place for them. Because, yes, you had huge upright spikes in prices of certain things, but it was not the inflation rate. It was not interest rates nominally. We had instead what I think at least was hyperinflation or rampant inflation in asset prices. In the 80s and 90s, it was stocks and bonds. It's still stocks and bonds to a great extent. Then Greenspan was unleashed on the world and gave us the real estate bubble and derivatives. And when we've had that from time to time, we get these deflationary busts afterward. And the question is, where are we in this game now? Should we be betting on inflation, deflation, a combination of the two? Mish, let me start with you. How do you approach this?
The way you need to approach this is come up with a definition of inflation and deflation. And one person can say inflation and another one deflation, and they can both be right. It depends on what their definition is. Unfortunately, there is no consensus definition. Some people look at money supply and say, oh, you know, money supply is expanding. By definition, that's inflation. Some try and measure prices, which I think is measuring a symptom of things. Prices can't really be measured, and what everyone ignores is actually asset prices, which you alluded to. My definition has to do with expansion of credit to market. And, you know, is that rising? Is that falling? If the value of credit on the books is shrinking, in my opinion, you know, you're in a period of deflation. So that's how I define it. So the looking from that aspect, I think we're going to see another round of asset deflation. The central banks have blown bubbles. We have bubbles in the stock market. You know, when 3/4 of the world's bonds have a negative yield, I think you've got a bubble in the bond market. Arguably, we've reblown the housing bubble in the U.S. There's certainly immense housing property bubbles in Canada, Australia, still going on in China. Those things are going to implode. And I think the one thing we can dismiss outright is hyperinflation. For the U.S. to have hyperinflation, its dollar would have to go literally to zero versus the euro. Is the euro any better than the U.S. dollar? So the hyperinflationists are crazy just on that aspect.
Well,
that's what it means. Hyperinflation means a currency heads towards zero. And, you know, the U.S. dollar is not going to head towards zero versus the euro, versus the British pound, versus the yen. So, you know, that's the end of the hyperinflation story, if you ask me.
I agree that the dollar has got so much of a tailwind behind it that that's going to keep it in check. Rick, how do you approach this?
I've been a student of the inflations since the mid-70s, and my education began with a book called The Coming Deflation by C.V. Myers with the 1976 copyright date. The Figge book you mentioned, I was pretty enthralled with that, too. I remember the graph on the cover that showed a vertical, a parabolic rally, hyperinflation, and I don't think we've had anything close to that, really. We've had a powerful asset inflation, but not to the point where it was beyond, everything was beyond all reason. Concerning definitions, I think we no longer really know what money is, so I think it's pointless, or we don't know what serves as money any longer. Even a good piece of that quadrillion-dollar derivatives bubble is money in some sense of the word, but there's too much of it around to measure. So I discarded long ago the monetarist idea of inflation, and I think the best way to understand deflation is to look at it in relation to its chief symptom, which is an increase in the real burden of debt. And it's really that simple. If you believe that debt is going to crush us eventually, then you're a deflationist by implication. And Mish is kind of at ground zero. One of the topics that he writes on a great deal is the coming pension bust. And I challenge any of the inflationists to tell me how the pension problem is going to settle out in a hyperinflation or inflationary way. And actually, I don't think in mere inflation or deflation is possible because of the size of the debt that has to be deflated away. But although it's very easy for the Fed to monetize assets and to push stocks and bonds higher, I want to see how they monetize the pension bust, because we've still got a lot of companies, a lot of public employees. They're all kind of hooked to actuary tables that say that earnings will be at a steady 8% over the years to pay all those pensions. But we know that not too far down the road, they're all bankrupt. And the same is true for the Social Security system. It's bankrupt. So there's really no way to inflate that away. And one other challenge I would pose to the inflationist is, how will housing debt settle out? Because for most Americans, the biggest piece of what they owe is what they owe on their homes. And, of course, if there's a hyperinflationary remedy for all of that debt, then it means that the lenders are going to get stiffed. In other words, we'll all just peel a few very, very large, like $100,000 bills from our wallets in this hyperinflationary period and pay off the balance of our mortgages. So I think that's very unlikely to happen. So in very practical terms, you know, the places where debt has accumulated beyond all hope of repayment, there can be no inflationary resolution. It has to be deflationary. And one other thing I want to mention concerning Myers is that just a very simple statement. In the end, every penny of every debt will have to be paid, if not by the borrower, then by the lender. And sometimes that happens in such subtle ways that we don't understand it. But trust me, the fact that baby boomers can't even afford to retire is a deflationary outcome. Just 10 years ago, we thought we'd all inherit the wealth of the greatest generation, but we could see it's going at the rate of $5,000 or $6,000 a month to assisted living. All paths lead to deflationary ends.
We're going to bring these guys back toward the end of the show and try and tackle this a little bit more, but you can tell that there's a lot of moving parts here.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamins you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back to the second hour of the KE Report. This is Chris Temple, and I'm with Dana Lyons right now, who I met sometime back when he and I shared a podium in the Chicago area at an investment conference. He is integral in his family-run business, J. Lyons Fund Management. They're investment advisors, do a lot of stuff as far as that and investment planning and whatnot. Dana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Sure. Now, we have talked on the show for a while, and I know that you cover all of this, about the tantalizing way in which the S&P 500, you know, ekes its way up to 2100 and moves a little bit above it as it's doing as we're recording this Thursday, and then pulls back. You know, will it make new all-time highs? Won't it make new all-time highs? But as you and I were chatting off mic a while ago, people have to remember that there are sectors of the market. Some are already making new all-time highs, and some are starting to break down. Why don't you give us a quick rundown of what those sectors are and how you're following them?
We have basically two tenets to our investment approach. The first is a top-down risk assessment model, and So we basically measure the degree of risk in the market, and by that we mean which direction is the broad market heading. So about 70 to 80% of the direction of a single stock or sector is going to be determined by the movement of the broad market. So we want to be aligned with that. The second part of our investment approach is an investment selection process. So where do we want to be invested? And through that, we have a fund selection model, a quantitative model that we use. And our philosophy in that regard is we want to stick with relative strength. You know, we want to be concentrated in those sectors, those areas of the market that are performing best, and by our model are going to continue to perform well. So as opposed to the, you know, a passive diversification approach. So right now, as it has been for the last year or two, the leaders continue to be the defensive sectors in the market: consumer staples, utilities, high yield equity, dividend plays, recently telecom stocks. So we've been concentrated in those areas of the market, and they continue to hit new highs almost every day, or at least every week. So we are still full bore in that area, in those areas of the market. On the flip side, while those areas hang up well, while the broad market is hanging in there, as you said, the S&P, we're starting to see some persistent relative weakness among some of the areas, sectors in the market. So this is kind of late cycle stuff where some of the sectors start to break down, specifically looking at the financials, looking across the pond at Europe, whether it's biotech, which is trying to make a pop now, but that's been weak. So you're seeing an interesting market now with persistent relative strength on the upside and persistent relative weakness. So it's an interesting market. It's a fun market if you're playing both ways of the both sides of the coin here with some sort of a long short tactic.
Well, you certainly have to be nimble, no question about that, Dana. You mentioned some of the areas that are breaking down. Could you give us one or two of them? One of the things that we've talked about on the show quite a bit is how you've had this internal rotation. You've had rolling corrections, rolling bear markets even in some sectors. This has been going on for a couple of years with the S&P kind of, you know, in a fairly narrow trading range. What do you see breaking down now? And, the financials, I'm not sure that they're not a one-off. I mean, the central banks have compressed interest rates. The yield curves are flat. I mean, we've had some talk here and on the blog that one of these days you're going to start seeing more banks nationalized because profits for them are elusive when you don't have any interest rate spreads or anything. So aside from the financials, what do you see breaking down?
As we're seeing, like I mentioned, Europe across the board over there, it's interesting after the post-Brexit rebound, incidentally, the behavior after Brexit really demonstrated why we continue to stick with relative strength, because the sectors that were leading going into it are leading coming out of it. The defensive sectors that we talked about, not only did they bounce back, but they bounced strongly to new highs. Conversely, you saw, you know, mean reversion bounces, dead cat bounces in financials, in Europe, in some of the healthcare sectors, also the transportation, some of the areas in transportation. After the dead cat bounce, you saw those start to roll over again. So, I think that's where, on the downside, I think that's where you continue to focus on, the areas that continue to make lower highs. In some cases, lower lows. So that's where we'd be focusing on the short side.
Okay. And as far as the stock market generally, and I want to focus chiefly on U.S. markets, you know, there's two schools of thought. One is that the fundamentals, while they are less bad in the U.S. than most every place else, they're still bad. Earnings growth remains elusive. The economy is kind of just plugging along or slogging along, so you really can't make much of a case for new highs broadly. And we're talking back about the major indices again. But on the other hand, you've got so much trouble elsewhere in the world that you've got, whether you call it the Pina syndrome, there is no alternative to U.S. stocks, or as you and I were discussing earlier, you quipped off, Mike, the FOMO syndrome, fear of missing out. What's your big picture view for the U.S. stock market generally going forward?
The big picture, as I mentioned, our first tenet in investing is a top-down approach. We want to be aligned with the broad market, so it's a good question. Right now, we have, as we talked about off mic, we have cross currents going on. We have a number of bullish and bearish variables across all segments of analysis. And what we look at a lot is in our risk model is our breadth measures. So you have, even amongst there, you have various, you know, positive and negative factors going on in breadth. For one, we have a couple of our main breadth indicators are starting to roll over, but from a high level. They're kind of wavering back and forth, so it could be that they hang up for a while and the major averages move to new highs, albeit maybe marginal or temporary. But because at the same time, you're seeing things like the NYSE advanced decline line move to all-time highs. You're seeing two-year highs in the number of 52-week highs. So you're seeing breadth continue to be, in some accounts, in some respects, very positive and very constructive for the major averages, perhaps making new highs. On the other hand, the broader stock indexes, not necessarily the breadth, are still a long ways from new highs. So I would be surprised if you see the broad market, the value line indexes, Wilshire, NYSE composites, I would be surprised to see those go to new highs.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to the next segment here in the second hour of the KE Report this weekend. Chris Temple back with you. And I have with me Dr. Eric Owens, my old friend, who's the president and CEO of Alexandria Minerals. They're a junior exploration company that has some pretty considerable holdings throughout Canada, but most notably in the Abitibi Greenstone Belt along the Cadillac Break in that area, which is known, I know, to at least some of our listeners. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good to hear from you again, and look forward to being here and having a few words to say.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've told my members for a while now, and it echoes something that you told me way back when I first was moved to put Alexandria on my recommended list, is that if you want to find gold, you go where gold has been found before. That's what you told me, and one of the things that is a theme of my own with the companies that I have on my recommended list now, including Alexandria and Falco Resources as well in your neighborhood, is that I think it makes all the sense in the world if you're an investor to not look at stories that you think sound so tantalizing, but look at stories that Newmont or Goldcorp or Agnico Eagle or somebody else thinks are tantalizing, and look at the companies that are arguably on their short lists as far as their next acquisition targets. And so nothing is saying here that you guys are going to be acquired tomorrow or next week or next year, but I think it is noteworthy that Agnico has a position in Alexandria, which is what, 9% roughly of the company right now?
That's correct. That's about right. They've been an equity partner of ours since 2010, and they through a number of financings that we've had over those years, they've maintained their roughly 9% interest in us.
And
they've been good partners.
That's excellent. And speaking of financings, you guys just are in the process of finishing up a little over $5 million Canadian financing, which Agnico took part in again, and is going to help you to ramp up some of your exploration work. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what some of your near-term targets are and why you're especially in your latest press release talking about one of your targets in particular that has something to do with the interest in Integra nearby.
Yeah, so we are ramping up a bit. Of course, we've all been through a difficult 4 or 5 years, so we've had to operate on lower than hoped for budgets over those years. So our current focus, a little late last year, my VP Exploration and I started talking about and recognizing that Integra has been doing very well on its property just to the north of us in its triangle zone, and the markets seem to be paying attention to them. They've done a good job at getting that word out there. So we're decided we're going to try and target some of those same targets on our property, which are just to the south of their triangle zone. We drilled a couple of holes early, very first test holes to test for those kinds of targets early in the year, but we have an 8-hole program that we're trying to do an adequate first pass drilling program there to test for the types of geology and high grade veins that Integra has there on their property next door to us. That's probably our immediate near term. In fact, we've already started drilling that program today, or yesterday, I guess it was. A little bit further beyond in the coming months, we will also move a drill rig onto our Orinata deposit because we have, to make a long story short, we've been reinterpreting the geology on that deposit. We have a 43-101 resource there that totals somewhere about 750,000 ounces, but it's been always looked at as a low-grade bulk tonnage deposit. We've gone back in to reevaluate the high-grade veins within that low-grade bulk tonnage deposit to see how they're oriented and how we can maximize their input to the grade and size of that deposit. And that's what our next round of drilling will be there. And that's a little bit further down the road, probably late summer before we get started on that.
What I've always found tantalizing about the story of Alexandria Minerals is that you talk about the existing 43-101 resource estimate about 750,000 ounces or thereabouts. That doesn't sound like a lot to some people, but one of the things you need to remember, folks, is that Alexandria is operating in one of the most established mining jurisdictions in the world. And it was, 3 years or so ago that you had a similar size deposit, a gold equivalent between gold and copper of about that much that Agnico paid you $5 million for, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It was a very bad market. It was even a worse, well, at least now we've got a little more positive market. But, you know, it was in the thick of the downturn. And it was showed the opportunity of being in an infrastructure-rich area. We're looking for the big multi-million-ounce gold deposit. We think we have the right geology here. We think we've always been scratching the surface. While we're in the process of doing that, we can capitalize on some of the smaller discoveries, which in our minds, the one that we just sold at Agnico Eagle a few years back was Smoke. It was a smaller sub story within the bigger novel, so to speak, of what we're trying to hunt for here. So because of the infrastructure in the area, we can make a little money on some of those smaller discoveries while we hunt for those large, more elephant-sized deposits that we believe are under our ground there.
Now, you're one of the larger landowners and holders in the Abitibi, aren't you, Eric, with Alexandria?
Yeah, certainly one of the larger landholders in the Val-d'Or area. Of course, in recent years, we've had some large companies come in and take some fairly large pieces of ground. But yes, we're one of the larger holders in the along the Cadillac Break. I think, by my estimation, we hold something like 10% of the known Cadillac Break. So,
wow,
and that's a 300-kilometer long fault zone.
Why don't you speak more broadly, if you would, about how you're seeing the mood evolving or changing in the junior resource space? You mentioned at the outset of our discussion that it's been difficult for a lot of companies like yours to raise money, but here you've been able to have a very successful capital raise again that you're winding down. I've a couple other companies on my recommended list who are junior explorers. TerraX Minerals is one of them that has really been astounding in how it's been able to have people literally fighting over whether they're going to put money into the company. Do you think that there's really been a sea change in the mood and that we're leaving the bottom behind us?
Yeah, I do. It really became noticeable about March. And of course, at that point in time, it was fairly, we were all uncertain about everything. But we did notice it in March. And as March grew into April and then May, it started firming up. There's definitely a sea change. I think there's still a little bit of caution out there. I think there's a lot of money out there sitting on the sidelines, and I'm not sure everybody's jumping in just yet. Clearly, good stories are ripe for getting money into them, and people do put money into the good stories, the better stories. So that's where we came in, and amongst a few others. So there is a sea change. I always like, I had a discussion at the PDAC this past March with a friend of mine who's been around as long as I have, and we both said, well, it's starting to look like 2001. So 2001, we're just starting to come out. Gold had hit a bottom, I think, in late 2000 or early 2001, whenever, and pre 9/11, and it started rising. And then well, it really wasn't until 2003, 2 years later, a year and a half or two later, that the broader market started coming in and start kicking the mining industry into higher gear. Who knows? These things can change rapidly, but it started feeling like, well, it does sort of feel like a sea change, and it does sort of feel like we're moving in the right direction. And how long it's going to take, we don't really know because we don't have crystal balls.
Right. Well, you talk about good stories. I've always believed that Alexandria is a good one. That's why it's one of my recommendations. And folks, to learn more, go to azx.ca on the Internet. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Good to speak with you again.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joe Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Welcome back. We're in the final segment of this weekend's show, and as I promised earlier in this hour, we've got Rick Ackerman and Mike Shedlock back to continue. Won't be nearly enough time to talk about this whole inflation debate, but let me cut right to the chase. Mike, I'm going to ask you first. My view is this. I think that we're seeing a very strange development where you have inflation and deflation occurring at the same time in different areas. In the last year, year and a half, for example, we saw commodities get hammered, commodity stocks get decimated, energy stocks get decimated, crude oil dropped by nearly two-thirds or maybe even more than that at one point. Yet at the same time as that, the stock market held very near its highs, at least here in the U.S., and real estate, as Rick pointed out earlier on, was growing. To me, this whole inflation versus deflation thing, especially when you add the elements of central banks, and they may be doomed in these efforts in the end, but they keep trying to pump money in to keep at least some of these balls in the air. Aren't we seeing something like an air mattress where if I squeeze one end of the air mattress and I squeeze hard enough, maybe some air is going to leak out overall, but someplace else is going to budge? Can we have these movements, some inflationary, some deflationary, going on at the same time, Mike?
I don't know if I would agree with that. I mean, certainly you can have these squeezing effect, and we've certainly seen that. The Fed and the central banks in general are trying to spur credit, but consumers are loaded up with credit. They don't want any more of it. So all this QE has gone into various you know, asset classes. So, okay, so why did gold go down? Gold went down, I believe, because on the basis of central banks had everything under control. If you look at when gold started declining, it was right after ECB President Mario Draghi came out and said, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes, and right. trust me, it will be enough. And that's when bond yields started, you know, crashing, when the bond market put on a big rally, asset prices soared, had huge faith in central banks that they had everything under control. I think we're starting to see right now the rise in gold is reflecting fears that things aren't in control. You know, look at the credit crisis, the banking crisis in Italy. Look at the result of Brexit, where people are just tired of the EU. And the same thing is going on with Marine Le Pen in France. You know, can you have inflation and deflation at the same time? Not really, if your definition is consistent. Certainly you can have some prices rising and some prices falling. I don't know if I would say that that's inflation and deflation at the same time. I don't think you can accurately measure prices. That's what's driving gold right now, is a renewed questioning whether or not central banks are in control. Rick, you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, otherwise, I'm kind of mystified by gold. It just seems to have taken off. 2016 has been a surprisingly good year. Chris, I like your mattress analogy because it allows for what's happening. We have not so much inflation, but take that mattress and put a pinhole in it somewhere. You get down on one corner of the mattress, and yes, it does inflate. We've got the stock market going up and bond prices rising. But the steady leak eventually is going to win out. You know, so I think that's what we've got. We've got a huge potentially deflationary juggernaut. That's the hole in the mattress. It represented by the derivatives markets, which are hugely under collateralized. You know, it's a daisy chain of leveraged price action. It can only happen in dollars because the dollar is the only currency big enough, essentially, to allow the game to go on. So anybody who talks about moving away from the dollar and the collapse of the dollar has to explain what else they're going to move to. So anyway, I see the mattress is, because it's got that hole in it, it's going to deflate away to nothing eventually, but it's still at the point where if we sit on one end of it, the other end rises. But you might think it's a perpetual motion machine, because one of the unintended effects, or it was intended, but not to the extent that we've had it, is to keep stocks going higher. So here we've got interest rates going so low that companies, even with huge cash reserves, go out and borrow money to buy their own stocks.
Right.
And that shrinks the float. It jacks up earnings per share. So they achieve an artificial growth in that way that's not growth at all. And I call it a perpetual motion machine, because when you look at who profits from that, you get the corporate officers all collecting bonuses because the stock price is higher and higher and higher. You get the lenders taking their VIG. It seems to work for everybody, except that the question remains, how long can it go on?
Well, good question. I mean, the three of us understand the fractional reserve system and how we're arguably at the end game of that. You can only take this so far, and as I said earlier, we're at a point where the ability of the economy, the organic economy, to service existing debts is pretty much gone. It's not there. And so that gets us to the point, well, what happens? Some people are calling for this deflationary bust. That's what should happen. The added dynamic, which is why the predictions for a few decades now of imminent doom haven't happened, is that you've got the central banks in there, and if things get real bad, they just start up QE and add another zero. I have often pointed out that one of the things that needs to be done on a large scale is a system of social credit, where the economy has the money that it needs to function, to grow, to meet people's needs, but it does not come at interest from a private central bank. Are we going to see a slow motion de facto system of social credit emerge from the banks? Because look at this. We've got the central banks monetizing increasing amounts of bad debts because the system can't handle it. They can't be serviced anymore. As time goes on, is this the reason we're seeing negative yields in so much of the world and going that direction in the U.S.? Because the only way to keep dollars out there and keep everything afloat is essentially the end result where banks may even be nationalized and turned into utilities. And just the money will flow freely to keep all of this stuff afloat? Is that where we're headed?
I think that, as I was suggesting, concerning the pension bust that's coming, there's no tricks, really. You can't do sleight of hand to bail out the pension system. But we're still in denial. You know, we talk about a Social Security trust fund that, in theory, is solvent to the year 2035. It's already broke. You know, we know, and I don't have to support that statistically. I'll just tell you that it's virtually impossible that all these baby boom, these 20-somethings and millennials who can barely find jobs, they're living at home till they're, you know, 35, and they're stuck with huge college debt. Do we really expect that they're going to pay for the baby boomers' Social Security and Medicare costs? So that's really it in a nutshell. And,
right.
And as I said, there's no inflating our way out of that. It has a deflationary endgame.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
The central banks are trying like mad to inflate. But in my opinion, there's only so much credit they can force into the system. And the credit that they have forced in there, companies are going into debt to buy back their own shares at inflated prices. So we're going to have an asset bust. And it's that asset bust that's going to be extremely damaging to the economy. And they've done it again. They did this in 2000. They did it in 2007. And they've done it a third time now. How anyone gives any credence to, you know, these central banks knowing what they're doing when it's clear that they don't. History is going to be very unkind to the likes of Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen.
Well, don't forget Dr. Greenspan before the two of them, who really set the stage for all of this. My comment many times has been that there has never been in the history of this country a single more destructive policymaker than Greenspan, who unleashed modern money mechanics and the derivatives markets on the world, and look at what the end result was. It's just stunning. One-word answer, guys. The balance of 2016, what is your favorite asset class? Rick?
I'm in love with T-bonds. I put out a very lengthy at rickackerman.com forecast for yields. I think they're going down to at least 1.64% on the 30-year, maybe even lower, and that implies enormous potential capital gains.
And Mike, you?
Gold.
That's it for this weekend show, folks.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.